The text is the gospel reading. What that large catch of fish was to Peter last week, today's text is for the rest of the 12. Today's epiphany for the apostles. Peter's epiphany was introduced with, "and it came to pass." The next time, that phrase introduces the disciples walking through a grain field, eating grain, accused of breaking the Sabbath. Then, "and it came to pass," introduces another Sabbath where Jesus was dared to heal on it. Then, "and it came to pass," introduces Jesus going up to the mountain to pray all night, and at daybreak, choosing the 12 apostles. Now, with no break in the action, we're at our text. Jesus went down with them, that is the apostles, and stood on a level place. Jesus is shown as the man who is God that can attract everybody. See how Dr. Luke sorts them out? The 12 come down with Jesus from the mountain of prayer, but a large crowd of Jesus' disciples was there. Literally, it's a multitude of many. But that's not all. There was also a great number of people from all over Judea. They hailed from Jerusalem, the Old Testament headquarters, Old Testament church's headquarters, and even from pagan lands like Tyre and Sidon. The appearance of God in flesh and blood, that was a big draw. And look what the Holy Spirit says their first purpose in coming to him was. First, they had come to hear Jesus. And second, they came to be healed by him of their diseases. Well, that's better on me than most days. Most days, I'm more concerned with my physical, mental, or emotional pain than what Jesus has to say about anything. Truthfully, now, wouldn't you value baptism higher if we baptize children into health rather than into the triune God? How about if absolution sent your dour moods away rather than your sins? And what if eating and drinking his body and blood made you younger? No, not the people in our text. They came first for Jesus' words. But much like last week, where two loads of fish so large to tear sturdy commercial fishing nets and sink two of their boats was an epiphany of Jesus' power, here's another real show. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured. What it specifically says is that Jesus cured them of unclean spirits. Of course, that's evil. What else is the source of thought so vile we feel tainted, befouled, stained by them? What else but unclean spirits in our world and flesh is the source of not just moral guilt for forgiven sins, but a physical feeling of being dirty, smelly, unwashed? We know from other reports that evil spirits, they don't go out quietly. So this is quite a sight. But Dr. Luke isn't done. Not the apostles, not the large group of his disciples, not even the people, but specifically a crowd are all trying to touch Jesus because the power of God was coming from his physical body and was healing all. The first word translated people is laos, and could refer to the elected, to those elected to salvation from all of the places mentioned. The second word that's translated people on the insert, that's a different word. It's aklos. It's the opposite of an organized assembly. It's a mob. From this chaotic scene, Luke moves to recording what is sometimes called the Sermon on the Plain. There seems to be a great disconnect here, though. The mob attacks the Christ, God and man made manifest for physical help, and they got it. And then Jesus launches into a sermon that teaches what appears to be blessings or woe may not be that at all. What gives? I'll tell you what. Until Jesus starts speaking, I'm in there with that mob trying to get my hands on Jesus to stop this pain, relieve this hurt, heal this woe. I'm in there trying to get relief from poor health, hunger, weeping, and the hatred of men. Then appears this God who is man saying, all that I'm aching to be rid of, well, that's blessed. Luther, too, makes us take another look at our understanding of blessedness and woe. He says, Satan causes his captives to believe themselves free and happy. For Satan knows that if a man were to realize his own misery, he would not be able to retain anyone in his kingdom, because God could not but at once pity that person and help him who recognizes his mercy and cries for help. You know who styles themselves gay among us? You know, the only reason LGBTQ people say they're miserable is because Christians won't accept them or their unreality. Moreover, it's always been lifestyles in the rich and famous that attract people, not lifestyles of the poor and forgotten. But the devil's the great price changer. He goes into supermarkets and marks hamburger at $18.99 a pound and prime rib at $2.99. And we storm the stores of life seeking the $18.99 happiness of here and now rather than the $2.99 blessedness of forgiveness, life, and salvation in Jesus' name. According to this epiphany of Jesus, the poor in spirit, hungry, weeping, hated, excluded, and rejected because of Jesus is the real prime rib, though the devil marks that at $2.99, and the world considers it hamburger. But the real hamburger is to find contentment in riches here, to be completely satisfied here, to find your joy in the world, to want everyone to speak well of you. Here, like last week, though it's not a parable, we have an over-the-top aspect to this epiphany of Jesus, to see in the God-man that what the world considers hamburger is the prime rib, and to rejoice, to leap about for joy when hated, excluded, insulted, and rejected in Jesus' name. But that's just plain crazy talk, isn't it? Who can do that? No one in their own strength. His word for leap about with joy, that's only used by Luke here, and to describe what unborn John did when he first met Jesus in the womb of his mother. Mary greeting his mom filled John with the Holy Spirit. It's only by that spirit, the spirit of the unborn, the born or unborn can leap about for joy in any situation. Well, how does one get such joy in the spirit in the midst of suffering? English poet and pastor Edward Shaledo wrote the poem, "We Need Thee, O Jesus of the Scars." He wrote it in 1919 in the wake of the horrible suffering and loss of life inflicted on England by World War II. The last stanza reads, "The other gods were strong, but thou wast weak. They rode, but thou didst stumble to a throne. But to our wounds, only God's wounds can speak. And not a god has wounds, but thou alone." Only those poor, hungry, weeping, hated, excluded, and insulted need the scarred Jesus. Only those unsatisfied, ultimately, with any kingdom now, want the kingdom of God that comes with and in the man Jesus. Johnny Cash, a year before dying, seemed to have finally gotten this. He recorded Nine Inch Nails' song, Hurt, where he sings with more pathos than the original, "And you could have it all, my empire of dirt." What else can any empire kingdom made by men be who are made of dirt itself? And who can redeem us men of the dirt except the one who descended into our dirt to take our place under all the requirements of the laws of God and all the judgments, his judgments for breaking them? Jesus did this, winning not only forgiveness for us men of dirt, but his Holy Spirit for us. But get this, today he gives us his Holy Spirit, the Spirit he won, through visible things on this planet of dirt. By water poured out on us, he gives us the invisible Spirit. By words spoken by another man of dirt, by bread and wine, which are his body and blood. Note to whom the text says Jesus spoke his sermon about what is truly woe and what is truly blessed. Looking at his disciples, he said, it was only to the disciples, whether apostles, disciples, or people from the Old Testament church, or even from pagan lands. It wasn't to the crowd mobbing genie Jesus. They got all they came for, healing for their bodies of dirt. Fellow disciples, you know that today Satan attaches glory, power, freedom to open rebellion against God, to sexual license, to every vile thing you can think of and not. Those in Christ see these for the sins they are. But we're not so discerning about the glory of the world. Remember whom Paul says this world's God is Satan. He attaches glory to having the most toys, the best of everything, a robust body. We have a hard time seeing that we're pursuing $2.99 hamburger, not $18.99 prime rib. We have a hard time seeing that that's me in that mob clamoring to get me a piece of Genie Jesus. The wonder is that Jesus gives it here, probably for the benefit of the disciples. To those satisfied with physical blessing, that's all they get. For those not satisfied, for those poor, hungry, crying, hated, excluded, and insulted for Jesus' sake, Jesus of the scars calls them to where God has safely hidden his kingdom, where only those drawn to seek, ask, knock for it will find it. He hides the power and glory of his kingdom. In our text, Jesus hides during Jesus' earthly ministry. It's hidden in the flesh and blood man, Jesus. After Jesus had finished paying for our sins and the Father had risen Jesus from the dead to show he had accepted his payment for the sins of the world, he received the God-man back into heaven. But the kingdom of Jesus of the scars didn't go with him. No, it's hidden here. It's hidden in that water, these words, and that bread and wine. Historically, the church placed a physical veil over the communion elements as an indication that much more is here than meets the eyes. But only when the word removes the scales from our eyes can we stand before these elements and say with Thomas, my Lord and my God, or with David, my health and salvation. Thomas said it to the man Jesus. David said it to the God who appeared in the cloudy presence, the Passover lamb, the scapegoat. We say it of bread that is the body of Christ and wine that is his blood. We say it of the words of forgiveness spoken by a man and of water used in his name. Luther quotes St. Augustine. The miracles of God that happen daily are regarded as trivial, that is, as hamburger, not prime rib. Not because they are so easy, but because they take place so constantly and unceasingly. It's a miracle that God rules and preserves creation. It's a greater miracle than when Christ fed the 5,000 men with five loaves and made wine from water. It's a greater miracle still when he forgives your body of dirt and your mortal soul of sins with things easily found on this ball of dirt. Bread, wine, water, words. Guess who else can do that? Nobody outside of God in Christ. That's the epiphany for apostles and those who cling to their teachings. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.